at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
These are the stories that keep you up at night.
Get all of your favorite Fox News podcasts commercial-free on Apple Podcasts with Fox News Podcasts Plus. From Dana Perino, Kennedy, Ben Domenech, The Duffys, and many more. Subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
President Biden says former President Jimmy Carter has asked him to deliver the eulogy at his funeral when the time comes. He's been on hospice care at home in Georgia. Defense Department officials are talking about President Biden's $842 billion budget request for the fiscal year 2024. It's the largest defense spending request in U.S. history.
The budget request is a $100 billion increase from just 2 years ago. Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks says it will help maintain specific Pentagon goals.
Our goal is to deter, because competition does not mean conflict. Still, we must have the combat credibility to win if we must fight.
And Hicks admits the Defense Department is hoping the size of the budget affects the thinking of one particular rival, China.
Our greatest measure of success, and the one we use around here most often, is to make sure the PRC leadership wakes up every day, considers the risks of aggression, and concludes, today is not the day.
The budget request now goes to Congress for potential approval. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
And now, elderly convicted murderers granted a retrial in Japan.
Iwao Hakamada, who's 87 years old, was sentenced to death for murdering his boss, the man's wife, and their two children back in 1966. He's long claimed his confession was false and was beaten out of him. The Tokyo High Court says Hakamada deserves another day in court because investigators could have fabricated key evidence. He's not actually been in prison since 2014 because of how Japan's appeal system works. His 90-year-old sister Hideko, who's devoted her life to clearing her brother's name, says she's so glad the retrial can finally take place. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
The Nevada legislature is considering restrictions on single-family homes' water use in and around Las Vegas. The agency that manages the Colorado River Supply says the provision would have the highest water users forced to cut back. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. It is 5:05. Right now, partly cloudy skies and 45 degrees in Pensacola. Three people have been arrested in Lee County in connection with what Sheriff Carmine Marquino there is calling a scam aimed at victims of Hurricane Ian. Marquino says the suspect set up an unlicensed tow truck company and scammed vehicle owners, saying they'd been sent by insurance companies to take their cars.
One of their scams was they would tow storm-damaged cars and lie to the owners that the insurance company sent them. They would wait months to report to the insurance company, and while doing that, charge tens of thousands of dollars to store the vehicles.
And Marquino says all those suspects came from Philadelphia to commit, in his words, fraud at every level. Governor DeSantis promising not to spend taxpayer money on what he's calling divisive initiatives. The governor was in Palm Beach County yesterday for a roundtable discussion on DEI initiatives, CRT, and their impacts on higher education. He says these concepts are divisive because they force exclusion and division within higher education. The governor says that we're not going to back down to the woke mob, and says that he'll expose the scams they're trying to push on students. Well, after a fatal weekend shooting in a parking lot near Club Climax over on Palafox, community advocates are now calling for that violence to stop.
I know we cannot have a crystal ball and figure out when violence is going to occur, but there's got to be a starting point to end the senseless violence here in Escambia County.
That is community advocate Ellison Bennett. Pensacola police still investigating a shooting that left 23-year-old Ariel Thomas dead over the weekend. So far, no motives or known suspect. It's not the first deadly shooting at that particular nightclub. A deadly drive-by shooting also left a woman dead in May of 2019. At that time, the club was known as the Platinum Nightclub. Bennett says the name has changed, but it's the activity that needs to change. He's hoping to meet with the mayor to discuss solutions to the violence. It is 5:07, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. It's going to be a little chilly throughout the morning hours. Temperatures warming up in the afternoon into the low to mid 60s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will drop again into the mid to low 40s. As you go into your Wednesday, sunny skies continue with temperatures warming up into the mid 60s. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping back into the low 40s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. Right now, 45 in Pensacola, 50 in Gulf Breeze, and 45 in Milton. Our next news at 5:30. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, and this is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm ready for it.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Thank you. My name is Sherry Francis Weaver Myers, and I'm a person with a disability. And in the city of Pensacola, I am 1/8 of a person. I'll explain that at another meeting.
Why not now?
So what I want to discuss tonight is Sanders Beach. So I went out to Sanders Beach yesterday and looked at the new playground equipment. And I would like to say I was shocked, but I'm not. So needless to say, it is not usable by children with disabilities.
So Sherry Myers is back as a citizen activist, which she promised she would be. She said that she thought actually she might be able to have more of an impact when she left public office at the city council meeting on Thursday, raising in the open forum, you know, the Leroy Board public forum, the question about playground equipment, access, disability, which is anybody who's been following Pensacola city politics for any amount of time knows that that is her main issue, that and complaining about how the amount of funding going to District 2 is not fair, which Charles Baer has well kept on that same complaint. And they're right. I'm, you know, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just, you know, pointing out that those are kind of the big things that she complains about.
Bayview Park, no boundless playground anymore, and a playground that's not accessible and usable by children with disabilities. You've got the Maritime Park. Touted to be a handicap accessible park. They don't say that anymore because it's not. And now we have Sanders Beach.
Oh, no.
We are going so backward. It is unbelievable. But I did note that there were a number of ADA other violations there. For instance, the sidewalk that goes from the picnic area to that new playground has a gap in it at least that wide. Really? We don't have enough concrete to fill in the gaps of a sidewalk and connect it even if the playground is not accessible?
There's a certain amount of podium pounding and bracelet jangling and loud yellering that just makes you know you're having the Sherry Myers experience. You know, look, I've always said this. I like Sherry. I get along with Sherry. I disagree with her politically just about 100% of the time. But that's okay. I mean, that should never be the predicate of your friendship with somebody. But it's just like nothing is ever good enough. And it's not, I'm not saying that the city does it perfectly when it comes to disability or handicap access, but I've never seen a project where she's like, yeah, you nailed it. You know, it's always never good enough. And so you begin to get the sense like, well, why do you try? You know, when you cannot satisfy the person, you know, what is the point? And then it's kind of funny because later on in the meeting, she's like, so I'm willing to offer my services if y'all want to put me on as the like access disability coordinator for the city because I'm good at that. And I'm thinking, no. I mean, you know, maybe call her and ask her for her opinion, but I'm not sure you want to put her in that exact position. So anyway, the meeting was actually very boring. The only thing in the meeting on Thursday, which was pretty quick, it was an hour and a half, I think, hour and a quarter, something like that. It was pretty short. The only thing in the meeting that was at all interesting, aside from Sherry Myers being upset about this, the Aldi past second reading, easy peasy, boom, zip, done. I mean, Charles Berry even said, I don't have any objections, it's fine. This is the one that I still think is problematic because the opponent neighbors who don't want the Aldi in their backyard with all of the issues that are going to come from that, even they showed up and they're like, they didn't talk. They just kind of, we're done. I'm out here. So they voted on that. It was easy, done, 7-0, no problem. I will say this. There was a moment at the end of the meeting where Charles Baer, who is also District 2, District 2 has a neck, and I like Charles, but Charles is just kind of different, you know, sometimes. And he told a story that just, I don't know why, it just cracked me up.
I also wanted to mention, I talked to Mr. Fiddler about this beforehand, but after the town hall, my wife and I went to eat at Bonefish Grill, and Mr. Fiddler popped out of nowhere, and he was dressed similarly to the people that work there. He was wearing mostly black, and they were all wearing black, and I thought he came out of the kitchen, and I thought he had a second job. I'm like, what is going on? And my wife said, he's probably coming from the bar area, you know, which he was. So, yeah, that was a little shock to me.
Kareth Fiddler is the city administrator for the city of Pensacola. So he's out to eat. And he comes out of the back, you know, and he's got a black uniform on and he's a black guy. And, you know, he's like, oh, is he moonlighting? No, he's just coming from a part of the restaurant. That's kind of funny. Oh, my goodness. 516 on News Radio 92.3, informative local. I don't know. Ironic. I was trying to decide. There was another story that is actually, this was maybe the strangest story Charles Baer told. And I just want to share it with you because I'm like, I don't know what to make of it exactly, but it has to do with Louis Baer, of course, who just passed away. And I'm going to let Charles tell the story.
I just wanted to make a couple comments. I just went to the visitation for Louis Baer and just reflecting on, I'm good friends with David, probably most of his family, you know, of all of his family. David Baer and I are probably the closest, and David has been a pretty strong supporter of mine. He's also been someone who didn't support me back when I ran for other offices. And what I told him and his brother was that Louis was one of those people that scared me sometimes. And he also, if he was on my side, it was great to have him on my side. Even when he wasn't on my side, the things he did for our community were just amazing.
I was scared of Louis Baer. It's kind of an odd, but I understand that because he's, you know, very powerful guy, can be intimidating, smart, you know, like I can see it. Like I can understand why he would have that reaction.
And we're also very blessed to have his three children still here and his wife, especially his three children who are all very involved in different ways in our community. And I just look forward to seeing them grow and flourish. And I made a comment to David tonight. I said, you just don't have to do the scaring part. He said he's been working on that. So, but both of them confided in me that they were also scared of him at some points, too. And they're his children. So, but I just, I'm going to miss him. I served on the PEDC with him when he was chair. And sometimes I was afraid to ask questions because he already knew all the answers that even he could anticipate everything I was going to ask him. So I think we're going to miss him. But I think we still have a big piece of him here and what he left behind, and especially in his family.
And the winner in the category, most unusual eulogy, is he scared me a lot. Although, but again, I mean, I think that's fair. That's probably, I mean, I'm sure Charles wouldn't say it if he didn't think it that way. I love talking to David. David, okay, can we do it without the scare? I mean, I thought it was funny. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Let's go.
The Spanish language edition of Batman brought to you by the letters A, B, C, and 4. 521 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Ben Scola Morning News. Cold today. Good mid-40s. It's going to be, low 60s later on today. But I never know how to dress on days like this. Because, I know I can't wear shorts when it's 47. But I know later on today, I'm going to be like, I wish I'd have worn shorts. So I don't know how to beat that problem.
You don't have a pair of them zip pants?
Like a basketball warm-up, so I can just rip them off when things get, when things get hot.
Oh my gosh, please, if you walked up the stairs in this building and then just like did that and came back down,
it'd be hilarious.
Cry. It'd be the best day ever.
Well, because you can never just like yank them down.
David's
you got to rip
it.
Them up into the air like, it's confetti or something. Oh man. David Wayne is in the newsroom laughing this morning. David.
Fashion advice from Pensacola's Morning News. You got to
love it.
That's
right. Yeah, no. Use it. Love it. See if your family will still stay with you.
The Federal Reserve will be conducting a review of the Silicon Valley Bank following its collapse. The central bank announced it'll be carrying out a review of the supervision and regulation of the bank. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell says the events surrounding that bank's failure demand a thorough, transparent, and swift review by the Fed. The FBI now releasing revised hate crime stats that show an almost 12% increase for 2021. According to the FBI's data, the increase shows 65% of those hate crimes were racially motivated. The original release of the data reported a decrease in crimes. Apparently, that data had a low participation rate due to law enforcement agencies dealing with new reporting systems. And the NCAA men's basketball tournament gets underway today with a pair of first four matchups in Dayton, Ohio. The action gets started with the Southeast Missouri State facing
What? You say that with more respect. You sound like you've never even heard of SEMO. Come on. Southeast Missouri State. Come on. Say it with respect.
Southeast Missouri. Is
that's
that
right.
Southeast Missouri State?
SEMO.
Yes.
That's SEMO. The acronym they go by.
SEMO?
Go on.
Okay. Now I lost where I was at. They're facing
SEMO sounds like
Texas A&M
at the aquarium.
And Texas A&M?
They're facing Texas A&M, and then Pittsburgh and Mississippi State will be meeting up as well.
Yeah, SEMO's going to get destroyed. I mean, by A&M. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I don't know why I bother. It's not going to change anything, but I have a tiny, teeny little reform to the NCAA tournament, and I have a massive reform to college basketball, neither of which is ever going to happen. The teeny, tiny reform is that the play-in games should never be anything other than the worst teams in the field, right? They should be playing into the 16 spot. What happens is you have, I don't have a bracket in front of me to look at the number, but you instead of having like the 16 and the 17 basically playing each other in the four regions, what you have is one of those games or two of those games, and then you have like a 5 plays an 11 or something like that. Why should a 5 seed have to play to get into the tournament? It's nuts. It doesn't make any sense. But there it's just they got to win 7. Everybody else has to win 6. The big change, and I'm just gonna say it because I feel like if I don't say it, then it wasn't an actual March Madness. But the way that college basketball ought to be changed, and this will never happen, okay, this will absolutely never happen, is that at the end of the game, when you foul as a strategy to force the other team to make free throws so that you can get the ball back quicker with less time off the clock so that you can try to come back when you've not played well all game and now you're trying to cheat, playing within the rules, okay, to get to the end. What you ought to have happen is that the team that got fouled ought to have the choice of either making the other team shoot, or of either shooting free throws or of keeping the ball. That's it. Simple. You either keep the ball with a new clock or you shoot free throws. Your choice. Because otherwise what happens is you turn a foul, a violation, a penalty, into a benefit for the team using the foul, the penalty, right? And that's philosophically, that just grinds me all the time. Also, that would make the games an hour less long because you wouldn't. And the reason that'll never happen is because the people who like the game the way it is now will say, well, you would never have those crazy game-ending, long-drawn-out dramas where the team comes back by this crazy strategy. Oh, that's true. That's true. But that's not the reason it won't change. It won't change because, do you know how many ads are sold during the last 14 seconds of game time that takes a half hour in real life? That's why it will never change. because there's a lot of ad money built into that way of doing things. 526 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, interesting note from the world of sports. I mean, sad note, I suppose, but I wasn't personally all that attached to him in order to say it quite that way. Jenna, were you ever, you strike me as somebody who would have done track and field back in the day. Did you do any kind of track and field at all?
Yes.
What'd you do? Were you a runner? Were you a jumper? Were you a javelin? Were you a, what were you?
I was a runner. I did the 200 meter dash and I realized I don't like sprinting. That
so long distance running. I would have had you as a cross country. Yeah. Okay.
I love long distance running.
Did you ever do high jumping?
Yeah, I tried once and I'm really grateful I have all my teeth.
You do it wrong, it's bad, okay?
It's very bad.
When the old style of jumping over the high bar was either a front dive or a scissors kick, where you would jump up, you'd kick a leg, and then your butt would kind of, like, you know, when you got, like, bar below crack, and you put the other leg, you know, like that kind of thing. A guy came along and revolutionized the sport. Do you remember either his name or the name of the thing that he invented?
No, but that's interesting.
You know how they jump now where you go backwards over it? You know, head and then neck and then you arch your back and your butt and everything up and over and then your legs kick up.
It's fascinating.
It's a weird counterintuitive, like how could that possibly work? The guy's name was Dick Fosbury.
Okay.
And they call it the Fosbury Flop.
Oh, yeah, that's he just passed away. Oh, okay.
It's okay. I mean, 76, somewhat young, 76. But the guy who invented the Fosbury Flop just passed away from lymphoma on Sunday. And, he completely revolutionized that sport by inventing. He was losing. He was a high jumper and he kept losing. And then he's like, I got to do something. And then he looked at the, like, film, basically, of how his body went over. He's like, I wonder if I did this backwards, if that would work. And, of course, in the beginning, it was terrible. But he kept doing it, and eventually he was beating it. And so the whole sport switched to his way of doing it because he invented a completely, you would never, it's so counterintuitive that how could that possibly work? You know, but it does, obviously. That's why everybody does it that way. And, you know, he set records and, you know, American records, and then eventually everybody copied him, and they did it better than he did because, you know, they were better than he was, but for a short time, he was the one with the records.
Well, how neat is that? Yeah, they should have called it the Fuzz, though. They really missed out. I'm sorry.
437-1620. Oh, PETA is upset. When aren't they? I mean, come on. Can you imagine the only thing more unpleasant than being married to an animal rights activist would be the kid of? I mean, seriously. How much unfun can the world be other than in your life, you've got somebody who sees everything as a violation of animal rights. Okay, so the PETA people, and by the way, it's worth saying that, you know, Christians believe in kindness to animals, decency to animals, and to nature in general. We're supposed to be caretakers of the garden. Sometimes conservatives react to the stupid things that the extremists say, and then we don't remember to say the basic thing, which is, yeah, you're supposed to be caretakers of the garden, protect the animals, protect the plants, the trees, that kind of stuff. Anyway, so PETA is once again basically complaining that the Easter egg roll at the White House, which is coming up for Easter, you know, when they roll the eggs across the front lawn.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's bad for the chickens because, you know, chickens are people too. And so they want to get rid of the eggs. This is not the first year they've done this. They've done this for many, many years. They've been complaining about the Easter egg roll. This year, they're adding their complaint. They're saying, you know, well, the high cost of eggs also. But look, they are people. So instead what they want is instead of using chicken eggs, we want to go to reusable plastic or wooden eggs or maybe some painted rocks or egg-shaped balls, all of which, of course, you would be able to keep as
mementos.
Why
don't we just roll the children across the line? Sheesh.
Oh, now.
Oh, are they people?
Oh, now.
That starts a whole other debate. Sorry.
I like that. All right. So, David, what do you have coming up, sir?
Lawsuit filed against the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. More after Fox.
Fox News. I'm Lillian Wu. President Biden taking aim at gun control with an executive order which looks to, among other things, increase the number of background checks, also promote more secure firearm storage. The order expected to be signed today in Monterey Park, California, where a mass shooting took place in January. The stop part of his West Coast visit which started with high-level meetings Monday.
The president and UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak stood alongside Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese at a San Diego naval station to announce the next step in the AUKUS partnership. New nuclear-propelled submarines that the president says will usher in an era of cooperation.
Fox's Gernal Scott. And Purina is expanding its recall of some lots of a prescription dog food because of potentially elevated levels of vitamin D. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. It's News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It's a bit chilly this morning, 45 degrees right now, clear skies in Pensacola. Former President Trump yesterday taking aim at Governor DeSantis as his 2024 campaign kicked off. Former President Trump was in Iowa. He ripped Governor DeSantis's farm policy, claiming the governor voted to cut subsidies for agricultural products, including ethanol.
He was very, very bad on ethanol. He fought it all the way, and he also fought against Social Security. He wanted to decimate it and voted against it three times.
And the former president also accused Governor DeSantis of wanting to cut Social Security and Medicare. Yesterday was Trump's first Iowa stop of his 2024 campaign. A Dofuniak Springs man has died after a dump truck rollover crash in Walton County. This happened yesterday on County Road 280. The Florida Highway Patrol says the man was driving a dump truck, lost control going around a curve near Pryor Road, then overcorrected. That caused the truck to roll onto its side. The driver of the dump truck died at the scene of that crash. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and the Santa Rosa School Board are both being sued by the family of a special needs student. The family alleges law enforcement officers and the school violated the 8-year-old student's constitutional rights, namely the Florida Education Equity Act. This comes after body cam video from a school resource officer was released that shows the boy being handcuffed and later Baker acted. The incident reportedly happened at High Road School in Pace. Well, yesterday we learned about another violent incident at the Southern Raceway in Milton over the weekend.
Again, that Saturday night we had another altercation. Evidently, a wreck took place on the track, and someone that was associated with one of the drivers somehow went into the other driver's trailer uninvited and ultimately struck him with a hammer.
That's Santa Rosa County Chief Deputy Shane Tucker, who tells us as deputies were dealing with that, another fight broke out related to the same incident. Channel 3 reporting the suspect is the father of one of the drivers that was involved in the crash on the track. 51-year-old Gary Winger was arrested on the aggravated battery and burglary charges. 23-year-old Scott Winger and 30-year-old Scott Parker both charged with disorderly conduct. It is 5:33. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. It's going to be a little chilly throughout the morning hours. Temperatures warming up in the afternoon into the low to mid 60s, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures will drop again into the mid to low 40s. As you go into your Wednesday, sunny skies continue with temperatures warming up into the mid 60s. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping back into the low 40s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now it is mostly clear, 45 degrees in Pensacola, 50 in Gulf Breeze, and 45 in Milton. Our next news at 5. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, and this is
our newest puppy. We haven't really determined a name yet. He came to us from Nassau County Sheriff's Office, and this is actually the grandson of our dog, Copper, that used to be part of our unit. Copper had 11 puppies, and one of them was sent to Nassau County, and this is the result of the litter they had.
Aww, this is Sergeant Lenzo with Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office introducing us to one of their new puppies, the grand puppy? I don't know, not grandchild, because, you know, it's not a child. From Copper, of course, a very famous tracking dog. This is South Santa Rosa News that had this video. Romy White doing a good job. In fact, you'll hear her voice on this question to Sheriff Johnson.
Sheriff, anything you want to say about your Bloodhound unit?
They're awesome. They're man trackers. And let me tell you, this little thing in about 5 or 6 months will be tracking criminals.
That soon?
Yeah, if he picks up that quick. Yeah,
if he can learn it that quickly. So yesterday we talked about this with Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Pretty cool. New bloodhound, new puppy.
Yeah, we're certainly excited about adding to that unit. Like the sheriff said last week, that is a phenomenal resource and asset for the sheriff's office, and it has just absolutely paid off in spades. You know, we have found so many bad guys and good guys and missing children. And, you know, we know this puppy's going to just carry on that tradition and help us carry out that mission. So we're super excited.
And did I hear right that Copper had 11 puppies and how many of that? Aren't there some that are now with the agency already and then this one's come back now too?
I believe this is the only one of her relatives that has actually come back. The others went out to other agencies in Florida, other sheriff's offices and agencies that have bloodhound programs. This one came back from, I believe, Nassau County.
Okay.
Copper bred with a bloodhound there, and you know had a litter, and then had a litter, and this is one of her grandsons.
Okay, I got you. That's very cool. Now, today is National Canine Veterans Day, so it's an interesting coincidence to be thinking about this. I don't really know the answer. I'm curious. Is there how long can a tracking canine stay with the department and serve? And is it different depending on the breed, you know, the bloodhounds versus, I know, like Escambia County uses beagles, I think, as well. And then also you have, obviously, the German Shepherds are, you know, a very popular brand to use, or brand, very popular breed to use. What's the lifespan, service lifespan for these animals?
You know, like you said, that's going to vary a little bit, you know, from animal to animal, from breed to breed and mission to mission. Generally speaking, I would say probably in the neighborhood of 5 years or so, a little more with some, maybe a little less than others. It depends a lot on the work that the particular animal has done and is exposed to. Getting in and out of these trucks and SUVs can be rough on animals.
Yeah.
And, so it all depends, just like each one of us, where, you know, we have our own limitations and, but I'd say about 5 years is probably fairly average.
I mean, it makes sense, you know, especially with the hip issues that the Germans can have. And, you know, that's 35 human years getting in and out of the SUVs, right? And all the other mm-hmm. stuff that they do. I can understand it. We had an incident at the Southern Raceway over the weekend. Again, what happened?
Again, that Saturday night, we had us another altercation. Evidently, a wreck took place on the track, and someone that was associated with one of the drivers somehow went into the other driver's trailer uninvited and ultimately struck him with a hammer. I believe he hit him in the head. And as this was being handled by our deputies, another fight broke out, ostensibly related to this incident, and two more subjects were charged. So those two subjects were charged with a fray, and the first subject was charged with a burglary with a battery as well as an aggravated battery.
Wow. So the previous incident had been a shovel. Now we've got a hammer and multiple. I mean, are you guys, is there a, you know, what can you do? I assume you have deputies on the scene as, you know, security, if nothing else, or am I wrong? Do you, you know, what's the security situation like there?
Every Saturday night, Southern Raceway has off-duty deputies working, so there's always deputies on scene, and that's why we're always there so quick. And, of course, in a situation like this, you know, they call for on-duty deputies to come and assist, because as you can imagine, you know, these things could get out of hand rather quickly.
Yeah.
There's always security there. There's always deputy sheriffs there. And when the need arises, they'll get more.
All right. Well, last thing that I wanted to ask you about is the increased security at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. Obviously, we all know the story about what's going on with Sam Parker and emails and things like this. So can you tell us, what can you tell us about the effort to keep that facility and to keep the commissioner safe?
Like you mentioned last week, we received some attention over some comments that had been made, and subsequent to that, there were some calls or emails that were, interpreted as being threatening towards a particular commissioner and the Board of County Commission. So we've been stepping up security. We're adding additional deputies to the meetings there at the facility, and you know we'll do that as long as it's deemed necessary by the county, as long as there's a belief that there's a security risk, we'll keep doing that. And, of course, that decision will be made, interpreted and reinterpreted as time goes on. But as long as there's a threat, that we'll have additional deputies.
Very good. And I am inclined to want to ask about more details, but I won't bring them up. can I say it this way? It has sometimes been known to be true that there's the visible law enforcement presence and then there's the not as visible law enforcement presence in some cases involving security. Can I say it that way and you can say that that's true?
That sounds perfectly reasonable.
I want people to be assured that law enforcement agencies take this stuff seriously, and they do more than what you think they're doing, generally speaking. So that's good news. Well, Chief Deputy Shane Tucker, certainly I always appreciate the time and the work that you're doing, keeping all of us safe, including our elected leaders. Deputy, thanks so much for the time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Talk to you soon.
Most definitely. You know, they never want to talk about the specifics of what they're doing in any given case to increase security. But sometimes it's good to remind bad guys that, you know, it's not going to be whatever you think it is. It won't be that easy. You know, sometimes it's good to remind them of that. That's why I wanted to bring that up. 545 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are looking for that next vehicle and you're thinking about where to go, you know, one of the first choices you make is between new and used, obviously. Well, okay, new, you get a certain value out of that. It's true. But, of course, you pay a significant premium on the price of the car for that. Or you could do what Dave Ramsey recommends, what I recommend, what a lot of financial people recommend, which is, you know, wait a year or two or three and buy that same car, which is almost new, buy it used. And that's what Frontier Motors specializes in. Cars that are a year or two old, 3 years old, maybe something like that, in great condition. You know, they only sell A-conditioned cars. Cars that feel like they're new, it's just that you're not the first owner. And in obviously good prices, that's kind of the concept. And also what Frontier has is this amazing selection. About 300 different vehicles on the lot, you know, cars, trucks, vans, all that kind of stuff, right next to each other. So you can drive four or five or six different ones, you know, try different makes and models, try even a couple of different years maybe. I mean, not a huge range, but, you know, some range, right? And you can really see what you like side by side. You sit in them all. These, you don't have to get permission to just sit in there. They're always open in the morning, no problem. And you can test ones, and including one of the things I've recommended for a long time is let's say you're buying a sedan, okay? Test the four or five sedans that you're most interested in. I mean, seriously, don't just drive one, okay? Drive at least three, my goodness. But then, you know, just for fun, okay, before you're done, drive a pickup. You say, why would I do that? Well, because you might discover, oh, that's why people like this. And, you know, you might discover, no, not for me. But the point is, that's a chance for you to maybe expand your range a little bit and find something you didn't know you were going to love until you happen to get behind the wheel of the thing, right? How often do we do that in regular life? Not that often. Anyway, Frontier Motors, great place to buy good quality used cars, outstanding selection, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. Good morning, 5:49 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us in the newsroom now, we have
the photos of.
Oh, we'll get to David Wayne here in just a second. I have gone to him so much earlier than I normally do that I caught him recording his doing his news for Cat Country. So it happens. It's my fault. We'll get back to him in a second. Have you seen that the Biden administration has a new rule designed to make you smellier and dirtier?
Hyundai Sonata.
Do you see this? This is kind of wild.
Look what's
so their new rule is dealing with washing machines. A crackdown on energy hog washing machines that use too much water and too much energy. So they are coming out with new, call this the Biden light bulb washing machine standards. Remember how, you know, Obama ruined all the light bulbs in America?
Don't get me started.
Seriously, who loves the LEDs that you have to pay four times as much to get half the lifespan out of that don't
psychopaths.
Work very well? It's crazy, right? Raise your hand if you wish you could just go to, you know, Lowe's and spend a buck and get four light bulbs.
Amen.
Do you remember when they actually had 70 watts?
That didn't pierce your eyeballs and ruin your vision.
I know. It's terrible. So anyway, this is their version of that. This is the washing machine standards. So the washing machines use less energy and less water. And
they're coming for our washing
machines.
That's
right. You know, first it was the gas grills, and now it's the washing machines. And this, of course, will make it more expensive to comply, so that hurts poor people, and it will make them less effective, which hurts all of our noses, and it's just, it's amazing the number of things that these people think ought to be regulated in the name of what other people's ideology demands.
There's just so many other things that we could be doing.
It's unbelievable.
You know?
It's just, it is amazing. You know, we're going to create an inferior product by mandate so that we can all feel good about how we're accomplishing some nebulous goal of saving the planet. Anyway, 551 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. The president of Mexico says his country is safer than the United States. Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador made that comment yesterday after criticism of security in Mexico following the kidnapping of four Americans and murders of two of them earlier this month. He says there's no problem with traveling safety in Mexico, despite State Department advisories that are in place warning Americans not to go there. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell out of the hospital now. His office announced that he was discharged Monday after being treated for a concussion and a minor rib fracture. He was put in the hospital last week after a trip and a fall during a private dinner in Washington, D.C. And today is Pi Day.
Yeah, oh, that's right. It is. That's right.
That's right. Pi is commonly rounded to 3.14. Experts, though, say the accurate value is more than 62 trillion digits. So I probably shouldn't go through all of those here.
No, it's hard to memorize them all.
Yeah.
It is. How many digits you got?
I don't really.
3.14?
All I know is there's pizza deals. That's all I know about Pi Deal.
296?
Pi Day. Yeah.
No, it is, by the way, it is not only Pi Day, but it is a certain producer of this show who's on vacation this week's birthday. It's always easy to remember Candy's birthday because it comes on Pi Day.
Ah.
So we can't even wish her a happy birthday today.
Wait, that's why I'm here?
No, she happened to be taking it. It's also spring break this week for Escambia. And it's weird, David, thanks for the update. It's weird because it's spring break for UWF. And for Escambia County Schools, you know what? Is the Santa Rosa spring break also? Somebody text me, 437-1620. I haven't gone to look to see if the schedule for Santa Rosa. But PSC is not on spring break this week. They go next week.
Yes, I knew that.
Isn't that weird? Come on. Who in which office didn't talk to the same who in the other office to figure this out? Like, why is UWF, PSC, and Escambia County Schools not all on the same spring break week? Just saying. As a parent of a UWF student and a PSC student, you know, this is a goofy system. It doesn't really make sense. Oh, somebody texted and said Santa Rosa is on spring break. So basically, PSC is the only one that messed this up.
That would make sense because there wasn't a lot of traffic during, like, school drop-off time.
Right, yesterday?
Yesterday. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah, so if you're like, man, school drop-off
in West
Florida.
My job's going to be so easy
on
today.
Burgess, it's super easy today. No big deal. That's why. That's exactly right. 553 on News Radio 92.3 437-1620 if you want to weigh in on this. I think it's... You know how former President Trump is going around talking, you hear David talk about this earlier today, but you've seen this all over, that it's like he can't stop talking about Ron DeSantis? To me, if I'm Ron DeSantis, oh, just sit back and enjoy the press. Because remember, how did Trump get elected? Okay, there's a lot of elements to this story, but one of the elements of this story is that he got all kinds of what we call earned media, you know, free media, right? Because he would do something outrageous, and then all of the NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC would all scream about him. And what's the old rule? There's no such thing as bad press.
Right, all press is good press.
That's right.
Right.
So that's attention. So they would scream about him, and he would get all this free attention because he would say and do outrageous things, and that got him lots and lots and lots of free coverage that he didn't have to pay for. Genius strategy. So, So Ron DeSantis hasn't even announced for president. Nobody's 100% sure that he will. I mean, he's probably 100% sure, but, you know, none of the rest of us, we're still trying to guess. And yet, Trump keeps acting like he's the number two guy, like he's the challenger. In fact, honestly, President Trump is acting like DeSantis is the front runner. He's giving an unannounced candidate so much attention as if that's the only threat to him getting the nomination. Why? Because it is. I mean, let's be honest. Ron DeSantis is the number one threat to President Trump getting nominated again, of course. So he's not wrong about that. I just think it appears to me as though, you know, from the outside, it looks like Trump is terrified of DeSantis, because this is how you behave when you're terrified of somebody who hasn't even announced yet. So he's acknowledging all of that embedded in the criticisms. And the fact that he is, before there's even a nominee, just attacking him left, right, and crazy. It's a wild position to be in. And I think if I'm DeSantis, I'm like, just keep talking about me. Just keep talking about me. It's all good. You just keep talking about me, which is what Trump did to win. I think it's so good for DeSantis that it almost makes me wonder if it isn't a design play. You know, in wrestling, David would know this. You have the fake enemy situation, you know, where that's designed. You know, somebody acts outrageous in order to gin up, but it's fake, of course. You almost wonder if Trump isn't faking it in order to raise DeSantis' profile so that later on somehow he drops out of the race and gives. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. It just doesn't seem right to me. It doesn't feel right.
The good old switcheroo.
Yeah, but, you know, you start to look at, like, this is so good for DeSantis that Trump keeps talking about him.
My eyebrow raised up.
I will say this. He started to run this line Trump has against DeSantis that he's, you know, he's Mitt Romney. He's a rhino. He's a Paul Ryan wing of the... Really? I mean, really? Like, I will say this as in an even keel way as I can. Trump is not a conservative. He has never been a conservative. If anybody were a rhino, right? I mean, Trump's brand is not the historic conservative Republican brand. It's not the, you know, liberal Republican brand either. It's just not a Republican brand at all. He changed the party. Okay, so calling somebody who is right heart in the middle of the mainstream of conservative political viewpoint, right, Ron DeSantis, saying he's a rhino is hilarious to me. Because if anybody's the rhino, and not in the sense like he's a secretly a liberal, but just if anybody's a rhino, it was Trump was the rhino. And you know, he changed the party as a result of everything that he did. So it's funny. And, you know, saying Mitt Romney, like, I don't know, Mitt Romney, to me, was so different as a governor, and of course his, you know, the things that he did when he was not being a governor in terms of the Olympics and everything else. It's just like such a completely different category of politician than Ron DeSantis that it's a weird thing to say to me. And it feels, again, a bit desperate in advance. Like, I'm just going to throw up any smear I can against him and hope that some of it sticks and that maybe if he actually declares to run for president, he won't be able to beat me in the primaries. That's what the strategy feels like. So, I don't know. It's a weird one, honestly, because if he thought he was just going to win, he wouldn't spend so much time on Governor DeSantis, who's not even a candidate yet. 5:58 here on News Radio 92.3. What else? We got some really concerning information about the Navy and the Marines in the last couple of days. One of them is that only one-third, in fact, less than one-third, of the Navy's amphibious ships are ready to deploy. This is... Look, I always have to be careful because as a civilian, I may not have the right full spectrum of perspective on this. But when you tell me that, we can't deploy two-thirds of our amphibious ships because of readiness and maintenance issues, that it's at an all-time low of like 32% when it's in the last decade, it's supposed to be 50% and the goal is 80%. Holy smokes. Like, we've had missions didn't happen from the Marines, including one dealing with the Ukrainian invasion and one dealing with the Turkey earthquake that we couldn't deploy to.
After the weekend's fatal shooting near a nightclub, some people are looking for ways to end the violence in the community. We'll have that story and more right after this update from Fox News here at News Radio 92.3.